you do. And later on, switch on the TV. They give me a news, they give half truths to me. They give us wise, they feed us lies. Now I want to do it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. To educate, they fabricate. Now we sit back till it's
the radio adventure.
Rick Adams is on. Ladies, gentlemen, children of all ages, yes, Rick Adams is here today on this very important weekend. Today is the 10th of September, and tomorrow will be the 15th anniversary of the 9/11 attack on America, as you probably all know by now. It will be 15 years, can you imagine, 15 years that America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by the forces of Imperial Israel on that day, along with its assets in the Pentagon, in the White House, and in other branches of this federal government in Washington. I can make that statement with confidence, with absolute certainty. Because the program today you're going to hear is a recorded interview coming up now. Bear in mind, a recorded segment that we did, two of us, myself and Professor James Fetzer, Professor Emeritus at the University of Minnesota. No stranger to these airwaves. Professor James Fetzer, Jim, and myself did what I consider to be the very best, most succinct anniversary broadcast on 9/11 that we have ever done. And I struggle to think of others to interview alongside me, but, you know, quite honestly, I think Jim Fetzer has done probably the most yeoman job in scholarship of debunking all of the myths regarding 9/11, the officially peddled and perpetuated myths by the government, by the so-called 9/11 Commission report, by the Bushes, by Obama, by the media, of course, most of all, that is totally, completely corrupted and under the influence of this synagogue of Satan. And so today you will hear that interview that was digitally recorded. We do have a backup on tape if we need it. But I think, again, you should listen very carefully, very closely to the evidence of science, the science debunking the official 9/11 report. After this program, there should remain no doubt whatsoever that this was an event planned not in Mecca, not in Saudi Arabia ultimately, and not exclusively in Washington. But it came out of the city that Jesus Christ denounced as the city of all evil in these last days. Yes, indeed, the epicenter of anti-Christianity and anti-humanity. It's the city of Antichrist. And that city, Jerusalem, has hell to pay on that fateful day. Now, make no mistake about it. The evidence will be pretty clear and pretty incontrovertible. So again, I beckon you, listen today, and the archive should be up shortly, and you should be able to share it, share the file, the complete file, with your friends and neighbors, because even though it was not an exhaustive interview, we hit all the main highlights. And so, as I begin today, we will do our interruptions during the recorded segments, and we'll come back after the commercials and continue until it's over. It should last about 90 minutes of my two-hour program. But before I do that, I just want to give Heavenly Father thanks for all of the opportunities that we have today in this dark and dying world, for the truth that shines the light upon all of the iniquities, all of the lies, the falsehoods, all of the deceptions in history. And in this very day, which we know will culminate in the largest deception of all time, and that will be when Satan himself returns, posing as Jesus to deceive the nations of the world. This is a forerunner. 9/11 is a cog in the wheel of the machinery of that one world globalist, Zionist, Talmudist agenda. So I give thanks to the Heavenly Father for all that we have and all that we share with you in these days of the times of Jacob's trouble. And I ask this in Yeshua Messiah's name. All right, I'm going to ask Sam, our board op, to begin the segment with Professor James Fetzer right now. Listen. All right. Well, welcome to today's special edition of Rick Adams Uncensored here on republicbroadcasting.org. And we are very pleased today, since this is the weekend of the anniversary, the 15th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks on America. We thought we would bring our guest back to the microphones, who was with us just about every single year since we began broadcasting here. And he, of course, is James Fetzer. And James Fetzer is, as you know, no stranger to these microphones. We are recording today's program because he is actually at a conference this weekend. So we don't want to risk the chance of not having Jim back on the program. Jim, for those of you who don't know, a former Marine Corps officer, and he was with the McKnight professor, actually emeritus, in the University of Minnesota at Duluth, and founder of Scholars for 9/11 Truth. Jim, welcome to our segments here today.
Oh, Rick, I'm just delighted to be back with you again. I really enjoy your hosting and this issue, of course, than which there could hardly be any more important.
Well, I agree with you. For many, many reasons, 9/11 did, in fact, change the terrain, you know, the landscape of America and the world forever. And it was a very significant cornerstone, as was, you know, 1913 and the imposition of the Fed and the income tax and World War One and World War Two and so forth. This is a major event that took place on American soil that was perpetrated, as you and I and others have now seen, by an inside-outside cabal of individuals who had planned this event for some time. Before we get too carried away today, let me just ask you for a brief summation of what I've just said and your view on how well planned this whole event was.
Oh, it was very, very thoroughly planned, Rick. It appears to have originated in the fertile imagination of Bibi Netanyahu, mm-hmm. who wanted to draw the United States into taking out the modern Arab states that served as a counterbalance to Israel's domination of the Middle East. He held a conference in the Middle East, in Jerusalem already in 1987, and published a book that year entitled Terrorism, How the West Can Win, before the concept was really familiar to anyone mm-hmm. in this part of the world. The demise of the Soviet Union in 1990-91 created a situation where the United States, as the sole remaining superpower, could, in the eyes of these neoconservatives, most of whom were dual U.S.-Israeli citizens, create a new American empire that would endure for the next 100 years if only we would move aggressively into the geopolitically sensitive region of the Middle East and exert diplomatic and military pressure outward, where they worried that the American public would be slow on the uptake, not appreciate the unique opportunity thereby afforded, unless there were some catalytic traumatizing events such as a new Pearl Harbor, mm-hmm. which they went about organizing to bring that in about.
Well, that does give us a pretty good summation of the motive and the means and the plan of action to continue this process of worldwide war for the benefit of Israel, the city of end time prophecy, as I like to say. And it really and truly is, amazing how Ariel Sharon, who was taken down right after the period of time we're talking about, 2000, the election of Bush, Sharon was in power. And there was a conference going on in, I believe it was Durban, South Africa at the time, about Zionism being racism. And that was beginning to actually grab some attention across the globe and here in the United States. And then, oh my goodness, it wasn't long after the ascendancy of W that 9/11 took place. And everything changed from that point on. Israel was our greatest ally in the Middle East, and oh my goodness, we all had the same common enemy. And basically, that's a summation of what we were told and what was to be imprinted in our psyche, essentially, right?
Yes, that's absolutely right, Rick. And everything we've been told about 9/11, virtually without exception, is provably false. I organized, founded Scholars for 9/11 Truth in December 2005 to bring together experts in different areas, mm-hmm. physicists, pilots, engineers, structural, aeronautical, chemical, electrical, and so forth, to pool our resources. And we've actually, at this point in time, been able to establish very, I think, definitively, believe it or not, how it was done, who was responsible, and why, which I'm very pleased to report, was just published last week in a brand new book, America Nuked on 9/11.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm looking at it now, exactly.
Rick, it's amazing, but I think, because of the Internet, because of collaborative research can be conducted over the Internet, that we've been able to solve 9/11 in a much, much shorter period of time than was the case with JFK, which took roughly 50 years. Mm-hmm. And I think future events are going to succumb more rapidly, too, because of the opportunities availed by the Internet.
Well, I think the high points of 9/11 in this year, as we remember it, really and truly were first and foremost the idea that we all saw planes attacking buildings on 9/11. And that was the image that was meant to stay in our minds forever. We couldn't see Pearl Harbor when it happened, but here we have a view that everybody who was around at that time, even little children, could remember, just as when I was in school, I remember JFK being gunned down in Dallas. So here we had this image of these planes with these so-called Arab hijackers planning to disrupt America, to take America down, and that would indeed fall right into the plans that the Zionist Mossad had planned, and that was to propel America into a series of wars in the Middle East for the benefit of Israel. And these were preemptive wars, something that never had been authorized or heard of before in the 20th century.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And of course, we have, the official position is that there were four planes that were commandeered by these suicide hijackers, 19 in all, under the control of a guy in a cave off in Afghanistan. It turned out, Rick, that 15 of the 19 named were from Saudi Arabia. None of them were from Iraq. But even more remarkably, the government's never been able to establish that any of them were aboard any of the alleged planes. In fact, there are so many questions about the planes and the flights themselves that it's become an utterly fascinating area of research. David Ray Griffin, by the way, in his magisterial work, The 9/11 Commission Report, Omissions and Distortions, makes as his very first point, Rick, that a half a dozen of these guys turned up alive and well the following day and made contact with the British media, which leads to the inference that, well, if they're alive and well, then they didn't commit suicide by crashing the planes, which implies the planes did not crash, and therefore no passengers aboard them died in crashes that did not take place, which sets up for the realization that we've been played, and the whole thing appears to be a fraud, which, believe it or not, is well substantiated by all of the research we've been doing in the meanwhile.
Well, it is, and you yourself, and as well as others, have highlighted the fact that the media had to play the largest role in this massive, massive cover-up, and they have. You know, we all heard about the questions that were never answered or even raised by the media concerning 9/11. There were dozens of them. I think originally the AFP ran 50 unanswered questions. Rodriguez, one of the janitors in the buildings, was dismissed, and they said they had no interest in what he had to say because they'd heard it all before. So the media are always central in controlling the minds of the public. And to what extent is that imaginable, that the same people who are part of the ownership of the military own the media, they own the academic world largely, as you know and others have found out, and in fact they have the political establishment responding to stories that are absolutely untrue, as we've seen in these election cycles. All of them, whether it's Trump or Hillary or any of the other candidates, would react to a story which is based upon a false premise due to all of this media propaganda.
And of course, the government really didn't want to hear out Willie Rodriguez, because what he said threw into doubt everything the government has claimed about 9/11, in particular his reports of the massive explosion in the sub-basement of the North Tower, where he was a senior custodian. It was when Willie came here to Madison, where I now reside, and we had dinner after he spoke. He described the sub-basements filling with water, that it was obvious to me that a reason for these explosions in the sub-basement, because there was one in the South Tower as well, were intended to drain the sprinkler systems of water so they couldn't extinguish the very modest fires that remained after the fireballs, which interestingly, Rick, appear to have been created by previously positioned kerosene or napalm or whatever had been consumed in the first 15 or 20 seconds.
Wow. Amazing, amazing. We all watched these towers fall, just continue to fall, you know, pancaking down. And I myself, not being a physical engineer and not particularly being, you know, a scholar in science, somehow I just instinctively knew that those images were absolutely false, that they could not have been the result of planes purportedly flying through the buildings and then taking them down, passenger planes, jet planes. It just didn't add up at all.
Well, you're completely right. And in fact, although the government and media endlessly repeated the word collapse, what's actually going on when you undertake a close examination is they're blowing apart in every direction from the top down.
All right, folks, it's time for a pause. Listen to our sponsorship here on Republic Broadcasting, and we will be back right after this with the next phase of the interview with Professor Fetzer. Hang in there. We will return.
Hi, my name is Chris. Since the 1970s, I have been actively making products available that support good health. What makes my juices flow is helping mankind get healthy. Today, I'm going to tell you about a product that will help your juices to flow. I am excited to recommend Dr. Miller's Holy Tea to you. Even if we are eating a clean diet, these impurities are entering our bodies. Holy Tea moves these poisons that are creating havoc with our health out of our bowels. It works on the whole digestive system. The five tasty herbs are combined to provide an amazing detoxifying and healing tea that will rid your body of the pollutants and soothe your digestive tract, and in some cases, help you lose weight. It is critical for our health to move all of the environmental toxins from our bodies. The Holy Tea can do that. As a hydrocolon therapist, remember, with every BM, you're supporting RBN. www.holytea.org. 800-326-2001.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at numanarepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
People love to shop. What if you could shop and it was actually good for you? What if you could actually purchase items that bettered your life? What goes into your body is important to what quality of life you have. How about shopping for items that better your health? GetTheTea.com is that shopping place. We're not only tea, even though that's our number one seller, we are about helping your health. There's colostrum LD for those of you with autoimmune troubles. The product helps your stomach get on track. GI problems produce pain. Get relief with colostrum from LD. How about some fat burners or maybe some joint aid or a power cleanse? There's so much to tell you with very little time. So get help health-wise at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or you can call our friendly operators at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Get help and relief by going shopping. Shop at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Serving people with great products for over 8 years. GetTheTea.com.
All right, folks, we're going to rejoin the interview we recorded with Jim Fetcher on 9/11. Here we are.
Right. Much of the buildings are being converted into millions of cubic yards of very fine dust. And believe it or not, Rick, when it's over, there's no massive stack of debris within the footprint of the buildings. We had that with Building 7, which was 47 floors, that actually underwent a controlled demolition, where it left a residue of 5.5 floors. That's about 12% of the height of the original, which is what we know from experience occurs when a building is blown apart. But in the north and the south tower, which were more than twice as high and therefore should have had piles of debris in their footprint more than twice that of Building 7, around 13 or 14 floors, there's nothing. I had Father Frank Morales from St. Mark's Episcopal Church, a first responder, on my radio shows years ago, and both times he explained how those buildings were destroyed to or even below ground level, which means they were actually destroyed in such a manner that no significant part of their debris fell within their own footprint. And that appears to have been by design, Rick, because the buildings were constructed in what's known as the bathtub, a very large kind of moat or dike to keep Hudson River water out. Uh-huh. And if any substantial part of those 500,000-ton buildings had fallen into the bathtub and shattered it, and Hudson River water would have flooded beneath the most valuable real estate in the world, the subway and the Patrick tunnels. It would have been quite a mess. which they wanted to avoid at all costs, so they contrived a very ingenious method of destroying the buildings while preserving the bathtub.
That is amazing how they could do such a thing. It's just, it defies logic to even read through the 9/11 report, which I guess ultimately was authored by Philip Zelikow, who was one of the tribe and certainly was one of the appointed souls that, as you know, was appointed officially by the government to essentially cover up the entire affair. I have the original report when it was issued, and I'm sure you've read through it many times, or at least once or twice, and none of it made sense. It just didn't make any sense. They didn't even deal with many of these ancillary issues that you're talking about today. Totally remained silent on Building 7, as far as I could detect. And they just avoided any discussion about scientific fact. It was just amazing how poorly done this whole episode was.
Yes, Building 7 is not even mentioned in the 9/11 Commission report.
Exactly.
But everything they tell us about the planes, about the passengers, about the phone calls, about the destruction of the buildings, about the Pentagon, about Chang, it's all provably false. Mm-hmm. Rick, none of it's true. Right. And I think that traces back to the fact that Philip Zelikow, who was made the executive director of the 9/11 Commission, had authored a draft of the complete report a year before he shared it with any member of the staff, and where, remarkably, his own background in academia before he entered government was with regard to the creation and maintenance of public myths, M-Y-T-H-S, Rick.
Yes.
And that's what he gave us in the 9/11 Commission report.
And, you know, I mean, you could understand people directly connected to the whole, you know, affair of transferring the leases from the New York Port Authority and all of the main culprits involved in scheduling this event. But when you think about the enormity of a cover-up by the media and how this whole episode was so in your face, Jim, it was it's hard to imagine on the part of the average American just how corrupt people can be when it comes to money and position. I mean, we know that at the beginning, Fox News had Brit Hume and one of the others that was there at the time. I forget his name right now. Carl Cameron,
was it?
They basically were starting to report things that were not in the script. And Abe Foxman, we're told, of the ADL, gave them a call and talked to the Murdoch people and said, hey, you got to knock this stuff off. And they did. They took down everything from their website at the time. And we will take that break, folks. It's getting hot. It's getting juicier and juicier. Rick Adams will continue with our special guest, James Fetzer. 9/11, 15 years ago, on that fateful day. Thank you.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
As a regular listener to Republic Broadcasting, you certainly understand the times and circumstances that we are living in. You certainly understand that the good times are over, and you certainly understand what we are heading for. Though we do not know what exactly is going to happen, we must assume that it's going to be a disaster. Are you prepared for that mess? Go to www.bugoutpanama.net and get the necessary information on our growing community of awake and prepared individuals, just like you. At www.bugoutpanama.net, you will learn how we are preparing on our farm, Finca Bayano, for what is coming. Emigrate while you still can to our village, where survival is of the utmost importance. prepare, don't despair at www.bugoutpanama.net.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Extendivite, a seven-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Get back at him with Rick Adams, the Radio Avenger, on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
All right, folks, we're back again to rejoin that re-recorded interview I did this past week with Professor James Fetzer on the lies and total falsehoods of 9/11 on this 15th anniversary. Let's get back to it. Relevant to 9/11 and, you know.
That's a very good catch, Rick, because, yes, Carl Cameron was reporting about the vans, the Urban Moving System, which was an Israeli Mossad operation, about the dancing Israelis, these five guys who were at Liberty State Park who were filming the destruction of the Twin Towers. Mm-hmm. They were celebrating, high five, taking pictures of themselves. When they were arrested, the driver told the arresting officer that they were not the problem, that our problem was their problem, or their problem was our problem. The problem was the Palestinians, which was ridiculous in the extreme. The van had explosive residue, passports, money, box cutters. These guys were held for 41 days until they were released by at the direction of an assistant to then Attorney General John Ashcroft, where they returned to Israel.
That's right.
Three of them went on Israeli TV, Rick, and explained they were there to document the destruction of the World Trade Center, which obviously implies foreknowledge. But Carl Cameron had really good detailed reports at the time of what was going on, because there was another van full of explosives that was headed toward George Washington Bridge. It appears they had a whole lot of other calamities in mind, but were thwarted from executing them.
It is amazing how, you know, in this instance, the police just happened to be in the right place at the right time. And it was fortuitous that all this knowledge would come out in alternative media. A very fascinating fact that today, as you pointed out repeatedly, we can document. We can document the lies, the falsehoods, the staging, the architecture of the whole movement, PNAC going back to the 1980s and 90s. And what they intended to do is there for anybody to see. And yet somehow we still insist on believing today what we think is another attack by radical Islam in Nice, France, or in Paris, or in San Bernardino, or anywhere else for that matter. And, you know, you have the trolls. And then you have those in the alternative media who are assets of the Mossad, who are pretty well paid and reimbursed to spew their propaganda. And they have some large audiences who will believe that somehow we're not being told the whole truth about the Israeli government. They weren't the only ones involved with the Pentagon and Cheney's office. No, there were real Arab Muslim terrorists, whether they be from Saudi Arabia or whether they be from Iraq, which they weren't, or Afghanistan. And so people will be confused. And this is their job in the alternative media, to perpetuate this Babylonian confusion, you see?
Rick, I think you got it completely right. And it's utterly fascinating how much we know now. In fact, it was Australian blues musician by the name of Gerard Holmgren that observed that the Bureau of Transportation Statistics database, which maintains information about every takeoff and landing of aircraft in the United States, did not show any entry for flights 11 or 77, where 11 is supposed to have hit the North Tower, 77 the Pentagon that day, which means they weren't even in the air, which gives you some idea of the elaborate extent of this hoax. Mm-hmm. We know that, Flight 93, which was supposed to have been crashed in Shanksville after there was an heroic effort by passengers to take it over, regain control from the terrorists, but it simply disappears into a hole that's about 10 by 20 feet in size, Rick, which is absurd. This is an aircraft, a Boeing 757 with a 125-foot wingspan, a tail that stands 44 feet above the ground. Mm-hmm. And when there was no debris there, apologists for the government suggested that was because it had disappeared into the soft soil of an area that had been subjected to mining. One variation even had it that the plane had disappeared into an abandoned mine shaft.
Yes.
I mean, that's not only absurd on its face, but we know what to do with miners trapped in mine shaft. We break out the bright lights and the heavy equipment and dig 24/7 on the chance that perhaps by a miracle someone may have survived. But they didn't do that in Shanksville, even for the 45 souls who were allegedly there. The coroner reported he ceased being the medical examiner after 15 minutes because there was nothing there, no body parts, not a speck of blood. The two reporters who were first interviewed at the scene, including Chris Kanicki, said that the eerie aspect of the crash site was that there was no sign that any plane had crashed there. And that's because no plane had crashed there. In fact, it's remarkable, Rick, that pilots for 9/11 Truth, which is a organization of professional and military pilots, some current, others retired, were able to track the two planes that were in the air. In Flight 93, they discovered, based upon their study of air ground communication, was over Champaign, Urbana, Illinois, after it had purportedly crashed in Shanksville. And, believe it or not, since we think we saw something happen involving Flight 175 hitting the South Tower, they've also been able to establish that Flight 175 was over Harrisburg and Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, long after it had allegedly hit the South Tower. Mm-hmm. And Rick, I went further and I obtained Federal Aviation Administration records for when these planes were formally taken out of service.
Uh-huh.
And both of the aircraft used for those two flights were taken out of service on 28 September 2005, raising the question, how can planes that weren't even in the air have crashed on 9/11? And how can planes that crashed on 9/11 have still been in the air 4 years later?
It is amazing. It defies logic, doesn't it? And yet that's what we've been told. And we're still told over and over again to forget the facts, forget the science, forget the reality, and just accept the story that was officially the report of the Bush administration. Now, I have to ask you, well, people will always ask this question, and you know when you've been on my program live, what about the families of the victims of 9/11, what the plane victims, the passengers who are on those planes? Are you saying they're all lies, or they're all scripted, or they came out of a Hollywood set? Maybe Spielberg had something to do with them. How do you deal with that question?
Well, one of the flights was going to land at LAX, and so newsmen turned out to cover the reaction of the friends and relatives, but no one showed up. So in order to conceal the fact that there were no friends or relatives showing up because the passenger list was a fabrication, they actually shut down LAX, Rick, if you can believe it. They shut down LAX to conceal the fact that the government was perpetrating a fraud on the American people. So making up lists of names of people is rather easy to do. But the fact is, we can prove, I've already given you evidence that no plane crashed in Shanksville. Mm-hmm. I've already given you evidence, proof, that Flight 11 and 77 weren't even in the air that day. I've already given you proof that 93 and 175 were in the air after they'd allegedly crashed and weren't even taken out of service until 4 years later. So I think that those who wonder about the passengers just have to recognize this was an elaborate con. Making up lists of names is trivial. It turns out, and I copied them at the time, the lists of the alleged passengers aboard the four flights published by CNN did not only not include the names of any of the alleged hijackers, it didn't even include any Arabic names. And apologists claimed, well, that was just a list of the victims. But how would the airline know who was and wasn't a victim and who was or wasn't a hijacker? I mean, there hadn't even been an investigation. So, I mean, that's just ridiculous and shows the extent to which those who want to conceal that the government was scamming the American people to protect the government from obvious blatant criticism. None of the passengers aboard those planes died, Rick. And what's so crucial about that is when you consider if none of the planes crashed, which we can prove, and none of the passengers died, and no Islamic hijackers caused them to crash, then there was no warrant or any justification for the war on terror. The whole thing was an elaborate deception. They did destroy two white elephants in New York City, which were loaded with asbestos. Mm-hmm. The World Trade Center was transferred to private hands for the first time just 6 weeks before 9/11. Larry Silverstein, the new owner, fired the security firm that had been looking after the building since it first opened in 1907, hired a new Israeli firm by the name of Kroll, negotiated a new insurance policy, Rick, that had an anti-terrorist clause so that when there were purportedly two planes attacking, he could claim double indemnity and pocketed over $4.5 billion on a $114 million investment. Not a bad deal.
Especially when you happen to own the judges in the city and happen to own the benches, you know, the judicial benches, and get judges to go along with those awards, right?
Rick, you're really saying a mouthful, my friend. I'm telling you, there's a Judge Hellerstein in New York.
Hellerstein, yeah.
Bottled up any serious attempt to bring lawsuits about 9/11. They just won't happen. And I think this was one of the emboldening features in going forward with the plan.
And you had Mulcahy, and you had Kenneth Feinberg, who participated in fundraising for the Boston Marathon bombing drill. The same cast of characters over and over again.
You're on top of it, Rick. Yeah, absolutely unbelievable. And as I say, when you have a half a dozen or more of these guys turning up alive and well the following day, it really isn't that difficult to put two and two together, that if they're alive, they didn't die in plane crashes. And if they didn't die in plane crashes, presumably then that is because the planes didn't crash. And we can prove the planes didn't crash independently, as I've been doing here with you today.
Were the planes in the air at the time? Any of them?
Yeah, there was a Flight 93, the one that allegedly crashed in Shanksville, where pilots have been able to establish, based upon their study of air ground communications, that it was still in the air after it allegedly crashed and was over Champaign-Urbana, Illinois. This is one of the two planes that would only be formally deregistered or taken out of service on 28 September 2005, 4 years later, and that Flight 175 was also in the air and was over Harrisburg and Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, actually, Rick, long after it had allegedly hit the South Tower, and was the other plane that would only be formally taken out of service on 28 September 2005, mm-hmm. 4 years later. But what's most interesting about the South Tower is we have all these videos. And it looks like, you know, you're seeing a plane hit the building. And the fact is, you know, most people have seen those videos and think anyone who talks about what's known in the biz, as it were, meaning in the research community, as no planes theory, which consists of the propositions, the conjunction of the four claims that Flight 93 did not crash in Shanksville, Flight 11 did not hit the North Tower, Flight 77 did not hit the Pentagon, Flight 175 did not hit the South Tower. They think that's loopy because we have images of the plane.
And that's exactly what I started out with this interview, is those images were key to making this whole deception not only possible, but probable and likely and verifiable in the minds of the average Joe. Now, you know, what is the motto of the Mossad? By way of what? Deception, we do war.
Right. Wage war by way of deception. Yes, absolutely. Well, here's what's fascinating. It would have been a physical impossibility for a real plane to have entered the North or the South Tower, as claimed. The structure of those buildings was so intricate, the design was so sophisticated, mm-hmm. that, in fact, Flight 175, as we see it in the video, was intersecting with eight different floors. Each of those floors, Rick, consisted of a steel truss connected at one end to the core columns, at the other to the external steel support columns, filled with 4 to 8 inches of concrete. And the variance is because these trusses had V-shaped grooves that were 4 inches deep. So in some areas, the concrete would be 4, in others, as much as 8 inches deep. Now, the buildings were 208 feet on a side, which meant that each of these forts represented an acre of concrete on a steel truss. Now, we know what happens to a plane in flight when it encounters a small bird weighing a few ounces. It can create a disaster. The plane has to make an emergency landing. Imagine encountering a single floor, a steel truss, and an acre of concrete in air. I mean, the plane would be demolished. And what should have happened is it would have crumpled up against the side, body, seats, luggage, wings, tail, fallen to the ground. But we have photographs of the street and the sidewalk beneath those facades, Rick. And there is none of that debris. You could have reclined there in a lounge chair sipping Mai Tais and been perfectly safe. So they had to fake it, Rick. And they were so bad at faking it that they claimed an engine from Flight 175 wound up at Church and Murray Street.
Where right.
Jack White, a former colleague of mine in JFK research, now departed, discovered Fox News footage of a white van at that intersection where you got about five guys wearing FBI vests unloading something heavy, and it turns out to be on the sidewalk. It's an engine from a 767, but it's an antiquated engine. It's not one of the kind that was in service in 2001. It's sitting on the sidewalk, Rick, which is undamaged. Anything that massive hitting a sidewalk at high velocity would have done tremendous damage, and it's under a steel scaffolding. Not only that, but it turns out they even left a dolly behind.
I I had heard all of that, and it's funny you should say that, because when this first came up, you know, as we were exploring, all the talk shows, of course, would not permit any discussion of anything other than the official story of 9/11. You'd be cut off the air. You wouldn't be allowed on. It would be disrespectful. You know, eBay, of course, you know, had banned the sale of anything to do with any books or anything to do with 9/11. So it was pretty well controlled from the beginning. Nevertheless, as time went on, we were beginning to raise these things, like, what about the alleged debris? Where did the wings of the plane go? And some talk show host says, oh, I know, we have a report right here. There was a big engine on the street, you know, and it was found right there, smack dab near the Twin Towers. That was evidence, supposedly, of these planes going through the North and South Towers. Oh, it's getting thick. Friends, it's getting thick. All right. We'll come back. Just a few moments.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and, of course, you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at numanarepublic.com. That's NUMANA Republic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
While the large majority of Americans have never heard of cryptocurrency, it is the medium of exchange of the future that has already begun. On the other hand, the large majority of RBN listeners are very aware of the corruption within the Fed and the trillions in counterfeit money and credit it has created. Well, would you like to do something about this? OneCoin, the fastest growing company of any kind in world history, will pay you to help do away with the Federal Reserve. Henry Ford didn't invent the automobile, but he surely developed many great improvements in the industry. In 1927, talking pictures made silent movies obsolete overnight, and email has practically done away with the need for a fax machine. With cryptocurrency, Bitcoin became the pioneer in 2009. But now OneCoin, as the first ever gold-backed cryptocurrency, has moved to the top of the industry in only 2 years, and its impact on the financial world could be devastating to the Fed. Bill Gates and Richard Branson and all the jillionaires are already acknowledging that this system of paying for goods and services is becoming what will be recognized as the new worldwide reserve currency. For more information, call Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911. Again, that's Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
Okay, we're rejoining now, and we'll continue this interview until it's done. James Fetzer, 9/11. Let's go. On 9/11, and it made no sense. It just, come on. I mean, that's preposterous. An engine represents all of the debris of these aircraft that crashed supposedly, went right through these buildings and destroyed everything? I mean, it just it doesn't add up scientifically. It makes no sense.
Well, it has been challenging to figure out how they fake the images, where three theories have emerged.
Yes, tell
one,
us about
that. Yeah, one is that it was done using, you know, computer-generated images.
Right.
The Webb fairy, Rosalie Grable, was an early advocate of that view. Another is that it was done by video compositing, by adding the images of the planes in the interval of time between the broadcast tape being recorded and it's being sent out. There's a 17-second interval during which the images could have been added. And the third is that they were actually projecting the images of planes from another aircraft that was not visible, which receives support from the work of a guy in the UK by the name of Richard Hall. His flight 9/11 flight 175 radar study, he had taken these videos of the South Tower, Rick, where there are like 52 or more, and he found 27 of them were precise enough for him to figure out where the plane or the image of the plane was at a certain time, so he could create a plot of locations and times. Now, he compared that with one advanced by the government, NIST, and found they had the same location, same plots, same times, but that they claimed it was based upon radar data. Well, he looked at what they had, and it didn't look like good data to him, but he discovered that there actually was radar data, and when he compared it with what he had, it was for a plane that was like 1,200 feet to the right of the image. And it's one that carries the aircraft past the building, past the towers. He found the same thing with the North Tower, leading him to speculate that what was going on was that the image of a plane was being projected from another aircraft, probably a much smaller and less visible against the sky, and where it had to travel faster than a 767 could fly at that altitude to preserve the integrity of the holographic image. Mm-hmm. And indeed, pilots have verified that it would have been physically impossible for a 767 at that altitude to have flown at that speed without physically coming apart. I mean, it would have exceeded its limits. And where they could just fly the image right into the building and it would disappear with no collision effects, which is what happened. We've done a frame-by-frame analysis, Rick, of two of the different videos, Hezer Connie taken from the side, Evan Fairbanks taken straight up. And the plane passes its whole length into the building in the same number of frames it passes its whole length in air, which means that unless a 500,000 ton building, you know, provides no more resistance to the trajectory of an aircraft in flight than air, this cannot be a physically real scenario. And where I have been sent a page from an Australian military manual entitled Airborne Holographic Projector, which shows exactly the scenario.
All right, hold it. We ain't done yet. We're going to come back after the midway break, folks. And you stay tuned.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.